the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
There we go. It's a mystery where the clicker is, so we'll just have to do my best Chris Whitty. Next slide, please. Back in the early days of Facebook, you had that option to say what your relationship status was. And one of the options was, it's complicated. I wonder how you would describe... So good. I wonder how you would describe your relationship with God. In many ways, it is very simple. But in many ways, and perhaps we might have a little think about this evening, it's a little bit more complicated or multifaceted than we might first think. Anyway, in our evenings this term, we are looking at our teaching series on seeking God. And last week, Adrian started off our journey by talking about that call that we have from God to seek him. And this evening, we are building on this by thinking about how we do this through relationship. And I am really glad that this is so early on in the series, so that from this foundation, we can explore what's to come. And I think it would be a real mistake to not ground what we're doing in this concept of relationship with God. One of my favourite verses in the Bible, you're not meant to have favourites, but I do anyway, is from James, and Adrian shared this last week as well, from James 4, verse 8, which says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Now, this picture is really famous, very well known, is from the Sistine Chapel. And what I absolutely love is there's Adam there, and he's reaching out to God in a rather half-hearted way, but he is reaching out. Minimal effort going on there. But God's like, "I'm on it. I'm coming for you. I'm pursuing you. You've made one move. I am moving close to you." And I think when I read James 4, verse 8, that's the picture I've got in my head. That if I glance towards God, he is homing in on me. And while certainly, from our perspective at least, we seek God, I guess that's the only way we can do it, one foot in front of the other, we seek God, we move closer to him, we bring ourselves closer to him, we must remember that it's not just that. God has made himself seekable. He is calling us to seek him. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God made the first move. Before we sought him, he sought us. But what do we mean by having a personal relationship with God? I think it's something we say an awful lot. We drop that into conversation. We say that a lot at church. But I'm not sure we go much further than that. I don't think we take a lot as read. Click. Okay. We will spend our entire lives learning what it means to be in relationship with God. Spoiler alert, we won't crack the whole thing this evening. But John 15, I think, sets out some principles that will help us on our way. Why? I think it answers the question, why? Why do we need a relationship with God? What kind of relationship is it? And how do we seek God in relationship? Click. Here is, I don't know if anyone has been here before, you might have done, it's Denby's Vineyard. It's a well-known vineyard in the southeast of England. In fact, it's in my hometown. And whilst it looks glorious there, I have very mixed feelings of this particular vineyard, because this is where, in secondary school, I had to do my cross country very reluctantly in PE. Oh, it's hideous. Some hideous moments there. But a vineyard is glorious. It's luscious. And this is the picture in John 15 that Jesus gives. He has a picture of him as the vine, us as the branches bearing fruit, and as the Father, as the gardener, pruning and trimming and watering and tending to the crop. Within this picture, though, I think Jesus gives us a promise and a warning. Click. Verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now the branch, as I've learnt by walking these vines many times, can only produce the grapes because of the nutrients, the water and the structure provided by the vine. If it's to have any chance of thriving and producing fruit, it must remain attached to the vine. Likewise, if we want to flourish, if we want to fulfill our purpose and our potential, we need to remain in relationship with Jesus. However, branches, when they become disconnected from the vine, they will remain unfruitful. They have no use. They are cut off. They are discarded. They are destroyed. Likewise, if we disconnect ourselves from Jesus by going our own way, we cut ourselves off from the very thing that he wants to give to us, the thing that Jesus provides. We deny ourselves God's care, his forgiveness, and ultimately the life he offers. Jesus wants us to be in full possession of these facts. That's why he warns us of the consequences and is the solution himself. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? I have told you this in verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It is in our relationship with God that we'll find true and complete joy. Not only that, that Jesus himself takes joy in our relationship with him. It is the whole point. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it, man's chief end, man's chief purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But what kind of relationship are we to have with God? Angela gave us a little treat earlier from quoting from John chapter 17, a couple of chapters ahead of our passage. John's got this habit, particularly when talking about God and us, of these spiraling kind of prose that go kind of they're quite cyclical. Another one that we've got here is remain in me and I also remain in you, and that's a motif that's continued. I think it's deliberate. I think it's to create this sense of an intimacy, of an integration. It's all-encompassing and it can't be anything other than personal. Relationship is intrinsic to who God is. Throughout this passage, Jesus talks about the love shared between him and the Father. God in himself is a relationship. One being of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfect relationship. It's out of that perfect relationship of love that God creates. This is the whole story of Scripture, of God creating and sustaining and pursuing and restoring and redeeming our relationship with him. But perhaps the picture used in John 15 for us is a tad abstract for us to relate to. But there are loads and loads of other kinds of human relationships that are used in Scripture to describe elements and aspects and perspectives of our relationship with God. You thought the congregation participation was over. There's another moment now. It'd be great to hear from you of some examples of those human relationships that we have in Scripture that describe our relationship with God. Any takers? I was about to say there's no wrong answers. Actually, there are some wrong answers. But give it a go anyway. We're all friends here.
What, you mean like the brother and son, for example?
Yeah, okay. Father and son. That's one. Bingo. Prodigal son, yeah. That's fine. Bride and bridegroom, another one, yeah. Any more? I've got a nice long list here we can go through in a minute. Friend, yeah, that's in the passage. Well done. Any more? Well, a few more that I found. There's king and subject. There's commander and soldier. There's co-heirs. We read in Romans 8, now if we are children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We've got friends, not servants, as Josh just mentioned. There's rabbi and disciple, teacher and apprentice. Then there's perhaps one step removed from those human relationships. There's some other relationships. There's creator and creature. There's shepherd and flock. And there's many, many others I'm sure that we could think about. Now, we don't have time to unpack the particular theological significances of each of the ones that we've just talked about. But it is in these sorts of ways that God has made himself seekable. This is how he relates to us. If we remain in Christ, then each of these things are true of you. Fact. And I wonder what bits, what dimensions, what elements, what types of these relationships that we can have with God resonate with you this particular season. Is this a season when you are leaning on God as Father, or as King, or as teacher? Are there any that you've neglected? If we're to only lean on one aspect of our relationship with God, it will be all the poorer for the richness that God wants to relate to us. Or are there any that you struggle with? Or are there any that you've not tapped into before, that they're new for you? Another slide forwards, please. And again. There we go. But I want to take a moment to acknowledge and explore that having a relationship with God will look different for each of us, and it won't always be straightforward. As with any kind of human relationship that we have, there's ups and there's downs, there's difficulties. Perhaps the pain that we have in our earthly relationships between one another can complicate the corresponding relationship that we have with God. For instance, how do we relate to God as King when we see leaders around the world abusing their power? How can we relate to God as Father if we have challenging relationships with our own fathers? God wants to reclaim and restore those relationships, but it can be hard. It can be painful. Sometimes we go through seasons, sometimes like with human relationships, sometimes long seasons of doubt, of uncertainty, of silence, a sense of one-sidedness. Is he there? Is he listening? Is he there for me? Or perhaps you find personal relationships just challenging. That's just the way you're wired, whether with God or with people. Last year, in Songs of Praise, of all places, Anne Haggerty, who's the governess in The Chase, shared something of her experience and her relationship with God. She says, being autistic, I'm not terribly in touch with my feelings and I don't entirely trust them. I've always had the issue of having personal relationships with God. I'm not really sure I'm having personal relationships with people when they're right there in the room. We each need to forge our own way. We each need to develop and nurture our own relationship with God in the way that he's revealed himself to us and the way that he has created us. If we go back to John 15, looking at verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. That is God's heart for us. Now, all of our relationships with God will look different, and they will look different over time. They will evolve. But if they are not relationships of love, then they are not of God. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we read that God is love. So anything that is not love cannot be God. We've already started talking about the how. How do we do this? How do we go about this relationship with God? How? It's a big question. Jesus says that we are to remain in him, and he gives us a few pointers in that regard. Next slide, please. And again. There we go. We remain in Jesus by holding on to his words. As Samuel was mentioning earlier, through studying, meditating on, memorizing, immersing ourselves in the breathed out words of the Bible. And also spending time with him in prayer. That's how we remain in his love, verse 10. And that's where we can ask for whatever we wish, verse 7. But also it doesn't just stay in our heads, doesn't just stay in our hearts. So you need to put it into action. We need to be bearing lasting fruits, verse 16. Keeping the Father's commands, verse 10. And sacrificing in love, even when it's costly, verse 13. We recently explored last year various spiritual disciplines, Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, and many, many more. All of which are ways that we can remain in Jesus and pursue a relationship with God. But each of these practices must be done out of a relationship. God's not transactional. He's not mechanical. It's not formulaic. He cares about you, the person, not the performance. So how do we avoid ritualism? Next slide. Here we go. Bear with me. If I was to approach a stranger on the high streets, presenting them with a caterpillar cake with candles lit and me barking at them, happy birthday to you, they'd probably run a mile. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Well, why? Why don't they like me? Why don't they want my cake? I've got the cake. I've lit the candles. I've said the magic words. Why don't they like me? That's because cake and singing will only make someone feel special when it's done within the context of an existing relationship of love. Nor can a relationship only consist of birthday cake. Well, we could give it a try. We could give it a try. But like with any friendship, if we only go through these practices as going through the motions, we won't get very far. However, certain practices and rhythms, if done out of and in pursuit of a relationship with God, can help build that relationship. I know I found, particularly during times of strain and challenge or darkness or distance, that those tangible things that I can do keep me with one foot in the God camp. Ultimately, though, God wants us. He wants our hearts for us to build a relationship with him. Final slide, and again. You might have heard this quote before from Augustine. You move us to delight in praising you, for you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Amen.